Well, I want to share with you from Acts and then tie it in with the gospel reading. But in the Acts, what you don't see is you don't see what's happened before that. There's been a wonderful healing that happened. There was a man that was lame, and he was there in the temple area. And Peter and John and the rest of the apostles, what they would do is they would walk across the temple area, and they met in a certain place. Temple area is really big, and there's a lot of people around. It's really busy. And they would walk across that area to where they would have Bible study every day. And they got together and fellowshipped, and then in the evening they had communion together, a meal at people's houses. And there's this guy that's right there by the entrance to where they did the sacrifices. And as he's going by, Peter makes contact with him. And the guy makes contact back, and then Peter reaches out his hand to him and lifts him up. And as he lifts him up, his whole body strengthens, and he was lame all his life. He was an invalid. Couldn't walk. Everybody knew that. People would carry him and put him there. And he thought that Peter and John were going to give him money. But instead, God healed him. And this guy is jumping, and he's praising, and he's worshiping. And this is what's happening in the background when Peter's speaking. And then Peter goes on to tell him, he says, don't think that we did this by our own power. The Jesus that you put to death was the author of life, and God raised him from the dead, and it is by faith in his name that this man was healed. So I invite you to follow along with me. As usual, I have an outline in your bulletins. And if you look with me at that text at the top, I added a few verses that aren't on the back of your bulletin, because we want to see the context and see a little bit more of really what's happening in this story. So Peter goes on to tell him, he says, now, brothers, I want you to know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. And then he goes and says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out and times of refreshing might come from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for those times of refreshing. We ask that you would come and you would fellowship with us now, that you would open up your word to me and to everyone else, Lord, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our thoughts would be acceptable in your sight, your strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. And what he really wants him to see is, Peter really wants him to see that this is nothing new. This is nothing different. This is something that God had promised many, many years ago. And he's emphasizing the word of the prophets. He talks about how back all the way to Moses, God promised this was going to happen. And then you'll notice in verse 24, he says, indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days, the days of Christ when God was fulfilling these promises. Now, Peter's emphasizing the word. He wants them to get into the Old Testament and study it and see Jesus in it. And that was kind of a no-brainer for the Jewish people. It was because their whole society, everything was built on the Word of God. Everything that they did, government, all was built on the Word of God. They knew it. They didn't always follow it or didn't always understand it completely. But, you know, the idea that it was helpful, that it was true, that it was necessary, that was there. And you take, for example, the sinners and the outcasts that Jesus ministered to. Now, the thieving tax collectors and the prostitutes, they were considered outcasts because that's what the Old Testament said they were. And Jesus didn't deny the word. He upheld it. And yet he came to minister to them, to help them, to bring salvation to them. You know, our culture's a little bit different. We don't look at the Word of God the same. We really don't. We don't have that same understanding. We don't. Our culture's based on humanism. It is. And, you know, we don't really need God to speak to us. In our culture nowadays, you know, most people don't see the Bible with the same power and authority that they did. And we might think that it has helpful ideas. We might think that, you know, it's good and it's things that we should follow and it's probably going to be helpful to us. But, you know, we don't necessarily believe that it's true. And actually, in our culture, we think it's a problem if you do. We actually have negative words for people that believe in the Scriptures. We call them Bible thumpers. I mean, we actually look at it negatively. We think, oh, this person believes in the Bible. What naughty things are they going to do now? And we actually believe that people who are avidly following Scripture and will follow it literally, as God tells us to do, that they're a problem. And, you know, the thing is the people that might be doing problems, even though they're listening to the Bible, aren't listening to the Spirit of God. And that's no different than what the Pharisees and Sadducees did. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is right. But, you know, we have a lot of stuff in our culture. I was thinking of different things that we have that we believe that aren't true. Have you guys heard this one, that God helps those who help themselves? I mean, a lot of people think that's in the Bible. They really do. Jill heard one this week at last week at the preschool. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You heard that one. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, that's Scripture. Deal with it. You know, this, you have to follow this. And it's just interesting how we have this in our folk religion. And what Peter's really trying to do is he wants us to look in the Old Testament with great hunger and expectation. But Satan and the world want to take that away from you. They want to cast doubt on it, that it's not reliable, it's not good, it's not something you should trust in. Peter's saying you should look back at that and you should trust in it. You should see that God has fulfilled a most awesome thing by sending Jesus Christ. He's the center and the purpose of it. And the fact that God was able to fulfill this flawlessly, without fail, is meant to be an amazing encouragement to you. There is something tremendously important to get hold of and understand with regard to biblical prophecy. Can you imagine if God had to try to do something? Can you imagine, you know, what I mean is this, is if God had to attempt or try to get something right. That's what human beings do, trial and error. God does not have to learn, doesn't have to. He just knows how to do everything. What if there was a chance that God could get it wrong? The point of all the prophecies is to convince us, to give us great joy and faith that that can never happen. It's impossible. Paul is writing to a largely non-Jewish audience in Romans. And in that epistle, towards the end of it, in chapter 15, he says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us in the present, so that we, through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, might have hope." You see, God wants us to trust, to believe in His faithfulness. But just believing that God is faithful is really not enough. We need to believe, what are we hoping for? Why is God faithful? He is faithful in Christ. It all centers around Jesus Christ. That He was able to fulfill these promises. It centers all around that. He focuses on the reliability. That's what Peter does in his preaching. The reliability of what God said in the past as God's proof of His loving care for us in the present. And that we see through Jesus Christ. He says, "Indeed, from all the prophets, from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days of grace," these days of Christ. And now think about it from Peter's point of view. He's speaking, and he's referring to Samuel. Samuel lived 1,000 years before he did. Now that's 3,000 some years for us. And then he goes back even further than that. He goes back about 500-600 years to Moses. And says Moses said the exact same thing. You know, I want to share something with you. If you've ever read an author called Josh McDowell, have you guys ever read Josh McDowell's books? There's one called More Than a Carpenter. He's written a number of them, and he's a really good author. He was an academic, a professor, very scholarly man, total atheist, thought it was just buffoonery. I mean, he did not have any respect for Christianity or anything. He came to faith, and when he came to faith, he realized, oh my goodness, I need to really start looking into this. And he did. And in his book, More Than a Carpenter, him and another friend, they put together some odds of what it's like for one person to fulfill everything that Jesus Christ did. Now, there's 300 some odd prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Some of them are very specific, like the amount of money he was going to be betrayed for, the town he was going to be born in, that they were going to throw dice for his garments at the cross. I mean, some of this stuff, that he'd be pierced in his side, that people would see him. It's amazing. And so some of these things are not just a matter of interpretation. They're pretty darn clear. And they were written hundreds, thousands of years beforehand. So they put these 300 some odd things that theologians over years have agreed that it's about Christ, and they figured out the odds. Odds are this, according to Josh McDowell, is that you take the state of Texas, which is huge. My parents-in-law lived in the state of Texas. You fill it 3 feet deep with silver dollars. That's pretty deep. You paint one of those silver dollars red, and then you blindfold one person, and you send them out in the state of Texas to find that one red silver dollar. That's the odds of one person fulfilling everything that Jesus Christ had to fulfill to be the Christ. If he didn't do it, he's not the Christ. And see, Satan doesn't want you to know this. The world doesn't want you to know this. So they lampoon, they tear away the one thing that Peter's saying is your anchor for knowing that God is faithful in this world. And oh my goodness, we need that. There is so much change nowadays. It is changing so fast. This is driving people crazy. It's causing so much stress on us. And I know from teaching high school, and I know my daughter teaches high school, that one of the things that high school students are just overwhelmed by, one of the main things that they will say that is just short-circuiting them, is they're too connected. They're too darn connected. They cannot disconnect from all the things that are going on in the world. They're Snapchat, they're not on Facebook anymore, but you know, with all the connections and all the Instagrams and everything else that they're doing, they're all, you know, I gotta keep up on this, and then this person said that, and this person said that. It's just so fast, so quick, everything is changing. And you know, in this, we need a permanency. We need something that is gonna be rock solid. The way that we manage the stress in such a fast-paced, changing world, human beings are still trying to learn how to do that. And yet God told us years ago, it's in Christ. You can have the permanence that you so much desire in your family, in your work, in your life, in your heart, in your soul, in seeing what I did through Jesus Christ in bringing him into this world. And the apostles themselves, man, they had the most traumatic experience of the world. Their Savior died. They killed him. He's gone. What are we going to do? Last week we were looking at how they're hiding and they're worried, they're stressed, they're just overwhelmed. And then he comes back. Does that help? All of a sudden he's there and he's risen from the dead. What do you do with that? How do you handle that? In our text, they were just blown away. They're like, is it really him? And so he eats some fish in front of them. I mean, Jesus is working to help them, to guide them. And you know, it's interesting. After he rose from the dead, they didn't see him very much. He was only with them for 40 days. That's it. And even during those 40 days, he wasn't with them all the time. He would just appear and go, appear and go. And yet in our gospel text, you see what he was doing. He was pointing to them to where they could find him, the Word of God. And he opened up their minds to the Scriptures. He sat with them, talked with them, showed them the scars, and then he opened up the Word of God to them and he said, you'll find me in there. You need to know this. Because I'm going, you're left, you need to know where to find me. I'm in the Word. Don't let anyone take that away from you. Don't let anyone rob you of that. Dive into it. Get into it. Just see it. God gave this to us as a wonderful, blessed anchor that cannot change in a world that is full of change. Romans 8, it says, not a thing in living creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. The Jewish leaders couldn't stop it. Roman ruler couldn't stop it. If thousands of years of history couldn't stop it, what makes you think that the problems of your life and the busyness of our day is any greater? Do I believe this? Do I trust God in this way? Do I give that to Him? You know, let me end with just sharing a couple of blessings that I see Peter giving to the people, that he's encouraging them. And I pray that they would be encouragements to you in your faith and in your life. Now, the first one, blessing number one, God fulfills his hope-giving promises in spite of and through the opposition of ignorant people. Now, we don't like that word ignorant. I don't like that word ignorant. He's not calling them stupid. He's really sharing with them, and he's saying, hey, look at it this way, brothers. You know, don't worry. Now, they should have reason to be scared. They were part of crucifying Christ. He's telling them God's not mad. What highlights the glory of God in these verses is that people who opposed Jesus, who betrayed him, who slandered him, who mocked him, who crucified him, they were all ignorant of God's purposes. But what really happened? God used all that to share his love with them. And Peter's not up there telling them that they're wrong, preaching the law to them. Look how God shared it with them. God shared it with them by doing a great and incredible miracle. And by showing them that he was present among them and that he is able to do just incredible and awesome things in our lives. It means to us that when God decrees to fulfill some good purpose in us, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the ignorance might be, the godlessness, it doesn't matter what it is, he will do what he has promised to do. And he is able to do it, and he wants us to trust him. He wants us to put that faith in him and give him the opportunity to work. The second blessing that I want to share with you, that Peter shared with them, is that God wipes away all the sins of the people who repent and turn to Christ. So that means if you repent when you're doing wrong, so if you know you're going the wrong way, you're doing the wrong thing, you're feeling guilty, when your path has led you astray, if you know that there is hope for you and you turn to God, God will receive you. He'll welcome you back. And, you know, it kind of begs the question in my mind, how do you know that you're wrong? How do you know that you're going the wrong way? How do you know that you need to, you turn around? And how do you know that God would be directing you in a different way? So I would like to share a challenge with you. You know, as you live your life, as you live the week to come with all the things that might come up with it, the good things, the bad things, all those together, I would pray that you would please see every experience that you're going through, everything that you have before you, as part of God's plan. May it give you peace. May in your heart you can rest assured that, you know, no matter what news the doctor might bring, and I know some are going to the doctor and they're not sure what the news is going to bring, no matter what difficulties might come with the people you have to work with or in your relationships or whatever it may be, that you would be able to see that God is working in that situation, and you would have hope and you would have faith that God is able to bless you and he's able to encourage you and he's able to move in your life in ways that you cannot even possibly imagine. And the second challenge that I would ask you to think about, I would ask you to love someone who is unlovable. I would ask you in your life, because I'm talking about God's love and God's care and his concern for you, you need to really understand this. The best way that you can understand this is living it. Who in your life is unlovable? Who are you thinking of right now? Pick someone who is unlovable in your life and smother them with kindness. Just smother them with it. You say, well, that doesn't work. I think God would disagree. I think Peter would disagree. Because here are people who are definitely angry, definitely upset, definitely out to do them harm. It just smothers them with kindness. And it was such a powerful thing in the church, that love and that care is what just grew the church. This is the essence of who we are. I know there's a tendency to come out with the law is true, we can't change that. There is a way to be, but how do people see it? You ever try to tell your spouse that they need to change? And try to point out to them the things that they need to do? Does that work? It does not work very well, does it? But I'm telling you, if you're patient and you're kind and you're loving, it can have an amazing effect and it can wear our cold hearts down. And this is what God is modeling to us as he's sharing with them. And he brought healing to this individual. And it caused people to rethink, which is what repentance is all about. And church, God calls us to live this. God calls us, number one, to know it and experience it ourselves. So when you're going through this week, that you would not think God is angry with you and the bad things that are happening are a result of something that you did or didn't do. My goodness, it's bigger than that. And that you would also live that and you would see that you can just share that and take the challenge and let God lead you in that. May God bless you and keep you and strengthen you in this as we grow in the beautiful grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.